of the Lord one more time. It's good to be in a place where we can lift up that name that the Bible says is above every name.
All right.
So good to see all of those that were able to come back this evening. You know, they say on Sunday night is where you have your faithful few. So thank God for the few. I remember the late brother Frank Watts talked about a boy that they brought on the joy bus. And he said that they brought the boy to church for the first time on a Sunday morning, and he came and he liked what he saw. And he came back Sunday night. And then he said that when they brought the boy back that night, then he looked across the building and he said, "Where are all the people at?" But anyway, it's good to see the people that were able to come back tonight. We want to be sure to pray for Brother Jones and his wife, who had a separate engagement this evening. That's why he is not here. And so we know that where they are, that they are doing good, because that's what he's about doing. Doing good and doing well for the furthering of God's kingdom. I want to say a special thank you to the brethren for allowing me to stand here in his stead and for entrusting me with such a duty. We had a good time this morning up in Russellville, Kentucky. Be praying for the work there, then we're going to have a door knocking the last Saturday of this month, which I believe is roughly 2 weeks from now. The 30th is the date. So we are going to let that be the first of a series of door knockings that we are going to do to try and grow the work there. So be praying that that goes well. And we already have at least one congregation in that area that has offered to come and help and to offer their assistance. So be praying for us as far as that goes. I'm having a good time, and just pray that the work continues on, and that God continues to bless our efforts there. We would like to speak to you tonight first of all, let's take a look at 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. 2 Corinthians 5, and verse number 17. The scripture reads, 2 Corinthians 5 and 17. He says, "Therefore, if any man be in Christ, he is a new creature. Old things are passed away. Behold, all things are become new." Also in the book of Isaiah 43 and 16, and I won't make you turn back that far unless you just want to, but the book of Isaiah 43 and verse number 16 tells us that we are to forget about the past and do not ponder on former or ancient things. In other words, Paul and the ancient prophet of old were trying to tell us that we cannot continue to be overly concerned with what happened in the past. You know, I've got some older relatives, some older uncles, and I used to like to hear them get together and talk about, quote, the good old days. And they would talk about the crazy clothes that they used to wear, who used to wear bell bottoms, and who used to wear stack heel shoes, and so forth and so forth. We know that when we study God's word, that it tells us that we cannot continue to be concerned with trying to, quote, hang on to the good old days. All right, we know that the scripture tells us that we cannot continue to be comfortable with just business as usual. Because business as usual, a lot of times, has gotten us to some of the unpleasant places that we currently are. We know that things cannot continue the same way if we are in the process of getting into a right relationship with our Lord. Now, we just got finished singing the song, "When the Saved Get to Heaven." And I really wanted to say this before I got to this part, but I'll go ahead and I'll say it now. I'm so glad that one day somebody had some sense somebody looked at the way that we used to sing that song, because from what I'm told, now this was before my time, but from what I'm told, that we used to sing when we all get to heaven. But we know that that is not biblical. We know that that is not what the Bible teaches. We know that John 3:16 tells us, "For God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten Son, that whosoever believes in him should not perish, but have everlasting life." Now, he didn't say that nobody anywhere was going to perish. But I'm thankful tonight that the Bible says that he is not willing that anyone should perish. But we know that the Bible does not teach about a day when we all get to heaven. If we get to heaven, we have to get there the Bible way. Therefore, we know that the scripture tells us that when we get into Christ, that we become a new creature. Also, then I'm sure that you have heard in 1 Corinthians 6:11, where Paul talks about, and all this, he says, describes what some of you were, past tense. But now you have had every stain washed off. Now you have been set apart as holy. Now you have been pronounced free from guilt in the name of our Lord Jesus Christ and through the Spirit of our God. You know, the Bible tells us in several places that we are sanctified. That means set apart for God's own purpose. I bet some of you ladies probably had some good china at your house. And the good china normally sets up somewhere about this high. That means it's out of reach. It's not for you to just reach up there and get whenever you get ready. That's the good stuff. And if nobody's sick, dead, dying, or graduating, or something special is going on, you leave the good stuff up there because it's set apart. We and the Lord's church are the same way. Then we should just not be available to the world for just anything and everything, and just open to anything, open to everything. The Bible tells us that we are to be set apart, sanctified. Also, thank God, the scripture lets us know that we are justified. That word justified means, it can be defined several ways, but my favorite definition is as though it never happened. And thank God that we serve a Lord and Savior who is ready and willing to treat our sins as though it never happened. Now, we know that the world is going to be quick to remind you of the day you acted a fool right down there on the corner of such and such a street. And they're quick to bring it back up in your face. But we serve a God who is not going to bring it back up in our face if we have been justified before him. But the scripture that I wanted to focus in on tonight is one that we read for our devotion, read by Brother Larry Reese. And by the way, that we appreciate the good spirit-led song service that we have had, led by Brother Prowell. And we appreciate both of our brothers in scripture reading and prayer. It just helps to get people's mind pointed in the right direction to hear the Bible message. But we read John 10:10. It says that the thief cometh not, but to do what? To steal and to kill and to destroy. But Jesus said, I am come that they may have what? That they may have life and that they may have it more abundantly. So with that in mind, I would like to speak to you about the abundant life. What does it really mean? Once again, the abundant life. What does it really mean? And the reason that I ask that question is because people are so quick to use this scripture and take it out of context. I've heard this scripture quoted at business meetings. I've heard this scripture quoted at ball games. I've heard this scripture quoted by insurance agents and financial advisors. But we are going to look tonight to see what does the abundant life mean. Well, first of all, to have the abundant life, then we need to study what is the abundant life really about. Now, we know that the Bible says that we are to study to show ourselves approved. Now, we know, I'm told, A survey of church-going people revealed the following. I won't read all of these stats. I'll just read the first one, because the first one, I thought A is kind of funny, but a B, then it also sends a message. It says that according to this study, asked of some church-going people, now listen, it said the most widely known Bible verse among adults and teens is, God helps those who help themselves, which is not actually in the Bible and even conflicts with the basic message of Scripture. Yeah, see, we have to study so that we'll know that there is no Scripture that says God helps those who help themselves. Now, there may even be some truth to that. We know that God wants to help us and that the Bible says that He works through the power that is within us. And we know that if you want certain things to happen, like, for example, maybe you have been job searching. Well, we know that no one's going to just come knock on your door and offer you an employment opportunity. There are certain channels that you have to go through in order to secure employment. But I'm just talking about how it's time to open up the Bible. Yes, it's time to open up the Bible. It's time to turn off the TVs. It's time to turn off the CDs. It's time to turn off the MP3s, the DVDs, and all of the other D's and E's. It used to be that all we had to say was a TV and maybe the record player. But that day is past and gone. We have so many distractions going on. We have just so many ways to be distracted. I was trying to find my cell phone. There it is. Now, even this thing right here just has a way of taking up all of your time. It just has a way of keeping you distracted. You can't even teach a class of young kids without them texting back and forth. But there comes a time when we have to turn all of this stuff off, and we have to study our Bible. Now, I asked that particular question about the abundant life. What does it really mean? Because we have a lot of prosperity gurus that want to take this scripture out of context. And they want to use this scripture to try to imply to us that Jesus wants us all to drive a brand new shiny car. They want to use this scripture to try to tell us that everybody should have a big, nice house, just like the one you saw on TV, instead of the one that fits your budget. They want to try to use this scripture to say that everybody is supposed to be having the latest name brand clothes on instead of clothed with humility, as the Bible says. But we know that Jesus wants to bring us true life, a life with value and significance. Jesus wants to give us a sense of value and proper priority. We know that the world does not have this abundant life that Jesus promises. The world and the people in the world have adjusted their values according to the world standards in terms of worldly gain and worldly success and what the Bible calls pleasure seeking. And we know that this is what the world is all about pursuing. We just have to take a look at the life of any typical Hollywood star. And we can see that what that life brings you is basically nothing but the same thing. It basically goes down the same downward spiral. Different ways, but the same result. Because, see, at some point, you have to go home, and you have to close the door behind you. You have to take the wig off. You have to take the makeup and the fancy clothes off. And it's going to be nobody but you, yourself, and God. And if you're not careful, then one day you'll look in the mirror and you will not even recognize yourself. If you let the world lead your path, then you'll wake up one day and you will just be surprised at what you have allowed the world and Satan to bring you down to. We go through the trouble when our loved ones die of holding funerals. And we do that because we value life and we recognize that life has a beginning, and that life has an end. Every man in here has a birth certificate. I've got one from Mound Bayou, Mississippi. Then I have a birth certificate, and I'm sure they have a blank spot down there somewhere, because they know that sooner or later, right beside that birth certificate, then they're going to have to put what? They're going to have to put a death certificate, because the opposite of a birth is what? Is death. We know that the Bible tells us that it was once appointed unto man to die. Then after that, the judgment, according to Hebrews 9, and I believe verse number 27. But praise be to the true and the living God, that the Bible says in the book of Job 14 and 14. I put the wrong one down here. But Job asked the question. You remember Job, who was stricken with many afflictions. Job asked the question. He said, if a man die, shall he live again? All the days of my warfare would I wait till my release should come. But praise God that because we have the abundant life, if I had a heavenly cell phone, then I could call up Job and I could tell Job that the answer to his question is yes. And the reason that I know that the answer to his question is yes, because the Bible says that the Word became flesh and dwelt among us. And because the Word became flesh and dwelt among us, I can call up Job and I can tell him tonight, marvel not that I said to thee that ye must be born again. That's what Jesus told Nicodemus. He said, marvel not or wonder not. It is possible that Nicodemus in some way expressed doubt of this doctrine. But Jesus took that occasion in a very striking manner to illustrate it. We know that in the natural world, if you've been on a farm, and for those of you that have had children, you know that in the natural world, when a birth takes place, we know that water has to break. We know that blood has to pass because that is what prepares the womb for a birth. We understand that in the natural, but let's bring it over to the spiritual. Jesus said that you must be born again. Born of what? He said, born of the water and of the Spirit. But we know that the water is for the washing. But I don't care how good and how clean your water is, whether it's spring water, distilled water, whether it's water from your local city or your local county, we know that no water is sufficient by itself. If you want to wash dishes, we know that if you want to wash clothes, water is not complete until you add on the proper cleansing agent. You have to have the proper cleansing agent. I remember one time then I was washing my own clothes, and I put the clothes in, and I opened up the door and took a look, and then I said, I'm going to put in the washing powder after it fills up. But something happened. I got busy. I got distracted, and it went through the whole cycle, and I knew that something was not right because it had only had water. But the water had no proper cleansing agent. We understand how that works in the natural, and we need to know how it works in the spiritual, because we have a cleansing agent to wash away our sins. I talked about dishes, and dishes remind me of sin, because dishes are indeed unclean. The dishes, when we use them, are indeed stained, but praise God, you know, we sing that one song, that there is a fountain filled with blood drawn from Emmanuel's vein, and sinners plunged beneath that flood. They do what? They lose all of their guilty stain. So we know with that in mind that we cannot put our faith and our trust in worldly things. Some people just feel like if they can get just a little bit more education, make a little bit more money, everything is going to be just fine. But the problem is nobody can feel like it's all going to be just fine, because that dollar in our pocket is dwindling every day. And if you don't believe it, here's what you do. When you on your way home tonight, just fill up your gas tank. And I believe if you put it on F, then you'll see my point of view. Because I remember before the price of gas went up, I remember hearing people say, I never let my gas tank get below half a tank. I used to always hear people say that, but I want to go back and ask some of them now, do they still hold true to that particular virtue? Because I found out that mine can run just fine below half a tank. I was surprised to know how far that it can really go. Yeah, then I talked to one brother that had an expedition, and he talked about how when his gas light came on, he would just put $5 in, and he knew that that could get the gas light off. And then it got to the point where he put the $5 in, and the gas light, it was still on. Yeah, things have changed, haven't they? Yeah, everything's not as it used to be. You know, that's why we got finished talking about a while ago how we can't hang on to just the good old days, because the good old days, in a lot of respects, are gone. You know, you can't put your trust in this world system because it's crumbling daily. I know that you watch the news just like I do, and you've heard about countries like Spain and countries like Greece begging for a bailout. They have staggering unemployment rates in Spain of up to 25%. That means one out of four people. They say that the young people graduate from high school, they graduate from college, and they don't even fill out job applications because they know that unless somebody retires or dies, no spot is going to be coming up. There's no real opportunity there. And so while these world economic systems are collapsing daily, I don't want to sit up here and try to sound like the doom and gloom that you can hear all day long on any news channel. But I'm reminded of the strangers who were following Jesus around, and he had fed them with the fish and the bread. He's shown them several miracles. And when they figured out that they were going to have to work just like everybody else, then all of a sudden, man, they had somewhere to be. They had somewhere to go. And Jesus turned around and he asked his disciples, he said, what? Wilt thou go also? But praise God, I believe that it was Peter who stood up and said, Lord, to whom shall we go? For thou hast the words of life. And that's what we're talking about tonight. We're talking about the abundant life that Jesus offers. For you see, Oprah does not have the words of life. Dr. Phil says some more sensible things than Oprah says, but still, Dr. Phil does not have the words of life. The Democrats say some good things, but they don't have the words of life. The Republicans say good things, but they do not have the words of life. Even the independents don't have the words of life. Colleges have great academic programs that you can enroll in. But you see, they do not have the words of life. The doctors and all of their medicines have good treatments. They have shots and they have surgeries and new cutting edge treatments and developments and so forth. But they do not have life. Law offers us justice and equality, but the court systems can't offer you life. The military and the armed forces offer us some level of stability, but you see, they still cannot offer life. As a matter of fact, I'm told that every day at least one soldier commits suicide, according to one report. We know that the police enforce the law and do the best they can, but they can't offer life. The prisons are trying to do better and offer rehabilitation programs, but still, they're not able to offer life. We know that the fashion industry wants us all to be covered in style, but the Bible says that we need to be clothed in humility. The music industry wants our children to hear the sound of hip-hop and rap, but the Bible says that we are to be speaking to ourselves in psalms and hymns and spiritual songs. We know that the jewelry industry wants to try to tell us that it can only be Jared's, so they say. Woo! But the Bible says that there is a rock of ages and a shadow that covers a dry and thirsty land. We know that the insurance industry tells us that we need to get a piece of the rock, but the Bible says that we need to be standing on the solid rock, and a sure foundation is where we need to be. We know that we have heard MasterCard tell us don't leave home without it. But the prophet David wrote, the Lord is my shepherd, and I shall not want. Jesus said that no man can serve two what? Two masters. That he will love one and that he will hate the others. We know that the botanists and the florists tell us that we need to say it with flowers. Whatever you have to say, say it with flowers. But I just wonder, do they know that there is a lily of the valley? You know, we know that the astrologers are looking for a sign through the stars. But they need to know, first of all, that there is a bright and morning star. We know that the farmers are looking for a better crop this year than what they had last year due to floods and droughts. But Jesus says that I am the vine and that ye are the branches. May we all leave here today in pursuit of the abundant life found in Christ Jesus. We have some youthful members here today, and we want to let them know that the Puff Daddy life, I saw him advertising some fine champagne here recently. I forgot what brand it was, but I saw him. They were using his image to advertise some fine, expensive-looking champagne. It didn't look like the cheap stuff. It looked like the good stuff. But see, the Puff Daddy life is not the abundant life. I know back when I was coming through, there used to be a show called Lifestyles of the Rich and the Famous. Even though that was an interesting show to watch, the life that they were promoting was not the abundant life. I know that the BET life that they advertise, where they teach our young women to act trashy and to act sleazy and to act less than what God wants them to be, where they encourage our young men to act like degenerates, where they encourage our young men to pursue life and liberty and the pursuit of sinful happiness. We know that it may be pleasurable for a while, but I believe that the preacher in Ecclesiastes 12:1 says that we are to remember now thou creator in the days of thy youth, while the evil days have not yet come, and thou shalt say, I have no pleasure in them. We know that 50 Cent wants to tell our young men and young women that they need to get rich or die trying. Wasn't that a movie? Get rich or die trying. Oh, but Jesus said, what does it profit a man to gain the whole world and turn around and lose his own soul? That's what Jesus said in Matthew 16 and verse number 26. In John 14:6, he said, I am the way, the truth, and the life. No man cometh to the Father but by me. I believe that the Apostle Paul knew what the abundant life was, because he said in Galatians 2 and verse number 20, he said, I am crucified with Christ. Nevertheless, I live. Yet not I, but Christ lives in me. And the life which I now live in the flesh, I live by the faith of the Son of God who loved me and gave himself for me. We know that in Romans 6:4, he says that we are buried with him in baptism. Therefore, we are buried with Christ, that like as Christ was raised up from the dead by the glory of the Father, even so also we should do what? We should walk in the newness of life. My friend, that is the abundant life. That is the life that we need to be concerned about. That is the life that we need to be pursuing. It's no need in trying to keep hanging on to the world. Jesus has already said in John 15 and verse number 19, he said that if you belong to the world, it would love you as its own. As it is, you do not belong to the world, but I have chosen you out of the world. That is why, or this is why, the world hates you. He said in Matthew 10 and verse number 22, he says that all men will hate you because of me, but he who stands firm to the end will be saved. That's what it's all about tonight. It's all about getting saved. It's good to get other good things. It's good to get a good job. It's good to have a good marriage. It's good to have children. It's good to have grandchildren. But in the end, it's all about getting saved. It's all about pursuing the abundant life. I appreciate you all's time and attention. If there's anyone here tonight who is not a member of the New Testament church, if you're not a born-again, baptized believer, this abundant life that we spoke about is not for you. In order to achieve this abundant life, you have to achieve this life the Bible way. Romans 10:17 tells us we have to hear the gospel. It tells us now faith cometh by hearing, and hearing by the word of God. We have to believe that which we have heard. We know that John 3:16 tells us, for God so loved the world that he gave his only begotten son, that whosoever believeth in him should not perish, but have everlasting life. Do you believe that? We know that we have to be ready and willing to repent. We talked about how we have to forget about the past. If any man be in Christ, he is a what? That he is a new creature. Therefore, we have to be ready and willing to repent. We know that the Bible tells us that godly sorrow worketh repentance. We know that Luke 13:5, Jesus says, nay, I tell you, except you repent, you shall all likewise perish. And we know that we have to be ready and willing to confess the sweetest name known to the mortal tongues of men. We know that the book of Romans 10:10 tells us that with the mouth, confession is made. That same confession that Peter made when he said that thou art the Christ, the Son of the living God. Oh, and don't you remember how Jesus turned around and said to him, he said, blessed art thou, Simon Bar-Jonah, for flesh and blood have not revealed it unto thee, but my Father, which is in heaven. And we know that finally we do have to be baptized to achieve this abundant life. No, I do not believe that baptism is an outward sign of an inward grace done to show the world that you have already been saved, but rather baptism is an act of obedience done to complete your salvation in Christ Jesus so that we can move towards this abundant life. Acts 2:38, Mark 16:16, we know that the Bible tells us that he that believeth and is baptized shall be saved. We know that if you are here tonight and you are already a member of the Lord's church, you are already a born-again believer, but you find yourself a guilty distance from the mercy seat of Christ Jesus, you need to make the decision to be restored. The Bible has made provisions for you. You can be restored tonight, right here, right now. We will pray with you and for you so that you can have victory in Christ Jesus. The book of Romans 6 and verse number 1 says, shall we continue in sin that grace may abound? And he turned around and answered his own rhetorical question, and he said, God forbid. We can be restored. Sin does not have to have dominion in our life. We can walk forward and we can walk in victory in Christ Jesus tonight, right here, right now, as we prepare to stand together and sing the song of invitation.
Up to Jesus, he will save you. Though your sins and crimson flow, if you give your heart to Jesus, he will make them white and snow. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to him. Come to Jesus, come to Jesus, come to Jesus.